Now I have resurrection power, living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord on Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Amen. And you guys are excited this morning. Amen. Amen. So we are excited that you're here. We're glad that you have joined us as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you guys have been with us since the beginning of our Easter series? All right. So we talked about the importance of having communion and fellowship with the Lord. We looked at Palm Sunday last week and just how we are to not only declare Jesus as our Savior, but also as our Lord, and throwing down the cloak with just a symbol of saying, I surrender my life to you. I am submitting myself to your Lordship. And that is what the Lord is demanding of us this morning. And so I like that song that they did, The Waymaker. How many of you guys know that he is a waymaker this morning? Amen. That he makes a way where there seems to be no way. How many of you guys are facing a difficult situation in your life and there seems to be no way? Only the Lord can bring you out of that situation. Amen. And so in our story today, there's two criminals. It seemed like there was no possible way that they had any sort of hope at all. And so we're looking at the two criminals who died alongside of Jesus on the day of the crucifixion. Now, if you would open up your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 32. That's where we will begin this morning. Luke chapter 23, verse 32, and it says this. It says, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. And so Jesus is condemned to die, just like a criminal would be condemned to die. And so now these two guys, however, they were thieves. And so the penalty for if you stole something back in that day, they would hang you on a cross and make a public spectacle out of you and say, this is what happens to those who steal. They get hung on a cross and they would actually have the inscription written above their heads. This man stole, so therefore he is being crucified. Now imagine if that were the case today, we'd probably have less thieving happening. We'd have less stealing happening. And back in that day, that was acceptable. But we see in the scripture that Jesus was led away with these two criminals. Now, Jesus did nothing wrong. He lived this life perfectly, without sin. But yet we find him with these two criminals, and he would die a criminal's death for doing nothing wrong. Imagine, anybody ever been wrongly accused before? Anybody ever said, you know, they had you wrong. They had you with this group, and they were being mischievous, but you were just, you know, a bystander, but you got included as well. Jesus did absolutely nothing wrong. He lived this life perfect and without sin, but yet he would die a criminal's death. We look at it, and, whenever Pilate was examining Jesus, he said, look, I don't find anything wrong with this man. I don't see anything worthy of condemning him to die, but yet the crowd kept yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And so eventually Pilate yielded to what the crowd was saying, and he said, all right, crucify him. He gave in to the peer pressure. He gave in to those around him. But yet he admitted with his own mouth that there was nothing. He says, what evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving of death. I will therefore punish and release him, is what he said. He was willing and wanting to release Jesus. But because of the crowd, that he wound up crucifying him. In verse 33, it says, and when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Now, let's just think about that for a moment. Jesus, innocent, done nothing wrong, but yet he is dying by means of crucifixion, a death that only criminals are worthy of. And so up to this point, Jesus had been beaten, he had been whipped, he had blood flowing from his body, his flesh was mutilated. In fact, some theologians say that he was beaten beyond recognition, that you couldn't tell whether he was male or female, he was beaten that bad. And so after this, then the Roman soldiers, they take him and they nail him to a cross.
So I have a hammer, and I have a wooden spike. They use metal spikes, and they nailed Jesus to a cross. one on his left hand. One on his right hand.
They pierced through his flesh and blood. They pierced him and nailed him on the cross. Let that sink in this morning. This is what Jesus did for you. And then they raised him up as a public spectacle to make fun of him, to poke fun of him, with one thief on the left and one thief on the right. Jesus in the center of the very middle, as if he was the ringleader, or as if his crime was the worst crime of these two criminals. They made a spectacle of Jesus. And on his inscription, it said, the King of the Jews. Whereas on the other thieves, it said, thief, thief, left and right. But on his inscription, it said, King of the Jews. Now, they meant it to be a mockery. They said he pretends to be King of the Jews. But God meant it to be a declaration over his life and said, no, he is the King of the Jews. He is the Son of God. He is the going to be the risen one, the Messiah that has come to the earth. He is. It was a declaration that God made over Jesus. I mean, you know that God is able to do that. God is able to turn a situation around that the enemy meant for evil and use it for his glory. Amen. So in verse 33, it says, when they came to the place that was called the skull, they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. So just to recap so far what we learned, Jesus, an innocent man, he will die a criminal's death. He was crucified, which was a painful and shameful death. He died between two thieves, just to add injury to insult. While the two thieves, they deserve their punishment. They deserve what they had coming to them. But they get the honor of dying alongside of the Son of God. Continuing in Luke. Luke chapter, in verse 34, it says, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, whenever he said that, he was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. He said, Father, forgive Ted, because he doesn't know what he's doing. He's an ignorant fool, and he doesn't know what he's doing. Father, forgive him. He's in his sins. Father, forgive you. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive her. Forgive him. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Imagine, could you work up that kind of forgiveness after being beaten, after being mocked, after being ridiculed, after having spikes driven in your hands? Could you look at your oppressors and say, Father, forgive them? That's what Jesus did. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. So we had mockery of Jesus, the Son of God. You know, at this moment, at this point in time, the Jews were expecting a Messiah to come and rescue them from the Roman tyranny. They were looking for a Messiah to get them out of their current situation, out of their physical situation that they were in at that moment. They were not looking to have a Lord. They were not looking for someone to follow, but they were looking for someone to get them out of their mess, to get them out of their situation. Father, forgive them, for they knew not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him. He saved others. Let him save himself. They were saying, in other words, if he pulls himself off the cross, then we'll believe. And we'll believe that he is who he said he is, if he pulls himself off the cross. And so now we have the soldiers joining in the mockery. Continuing in verse 38, it says, there was also an inscription over him, this is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals, in verse 39, says, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. So we have this one thief. He has a big mouth. You know, he just as guilty as the other thief. They both stole. They both were caught in their stealing. Now, they were both sentenced to the same death, means of crucifixion. However, this guy is looking at Jesus, and he says, are you not the Christ? In other words, I'm almost willing to consider you the Christ if you pull yourself off the cross and save yourself and save me as well. Does that sound familiar? You know, whenever we want Jesus to get us out of the mess that we created for ourselves, right? We create our mess. We mess up our lives. Our finances get to the point where, God, if you save me, if you get me out of this financial mess, then I'll live for you. I'll serve you all my days. God, if you help me just this once, if you get me out of this mess, out of this heartbreak, out of this relationship, whatever it may be, if you save me, I will live for you. Does that sound familiar to anyone this morning? Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and save us as well. You know, some people say, God, if you heal my body, then I will live for you. If you save my loved one, if you deliver this person from cancer, if whatever it may be, you fill in your story. God, if you do this for me, then I will live for you. That's not the way it works. That's not the way faith works. That's not the way God ordered things to work. This first thief is just looking for a way out of his situation. He's not wanting to submit to the lordship of Jesus. He's just wanting out of his current circumstance. But then we look at the next thief. Verse 40, it says, but the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. One of the very first things that happens is that he doesn't listen to what the other thief is saying. He's not influenced by what the other thief is saying. You know, this is part of salvation. You know, the world will tell you, you don't need Jesus. You don't need faith. You don't need to go to church as often as you do. You don't need all of these things. But this second thief blocked out the noise of the world and said, no, I see something different about this man. This man is innocent. He did not deserve to die. He did not deserve the death that he receive something different about this man. So the very first thing is that, hey, look, we're not going to be influenced by the crowd. We're not going to be influenced by what people around us say. So we're going to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. The next thing he says is, do you not fear God? Do you not fear God? In other words, he's telling them, you're about to stand before God, the God who created you, the God who formed you in your mother's womb. You're about to stand before him and give an account of your life, and yet you open your mouth and speak foolishly. Do you not fear God? This guy, this thief, even though he was a thief, he had a fear of God. And so I believe at this point in his life that he is feeling some remorse. He is feeling some, you know, feeling bad for what he did. He's reflecting on his punishment. He's reflecting on the fact, you know what, I stole, I deserved that. He was feeling remorseful. That also is the beginning of salvation. Then what we see, he makes a declaration with his mouth. He says, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. The beginning of salvation is confessing, I messed up. The second thief said, you know what? It was me. It was me. I messed up. I sinned. I stole. So therefore, I am reaping the rewards of my sin or the consequences of my sin. I messed up. How many of you guys know that is a big problem in our culture today, where people are not willing to admit, I messed up. It was me. But no, we try to blame everything and everyone else. Oh, it was my parents that I'm this way. Oh, it was my childhood. It was my upbringing. It was the place where I live. Whatever it may be, I blame other things. It was a chemical imbalance. Whatever it is, I blame that for my sin, for the reason I am. The second thief, he says, no, I'm looking at the mirror. The problem is me. The problem is me. I am a sinner. I messed up. That is the beginning of salvation, is admitting when we sin and when we messed up. The next thing that we see in this passage is that not only does he admit his sin and his guilt, he declares Jesus to have no sin and no guilt. He says, but this man did nothing. How many guys know that it matters to God what you think about Jesus? It matters to God what you think about Jesus. In fact, whenever he was on the earth, whenever he walked on the earth, he asked his disciples, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Do you look at Jesus and say, no, he's a guilty sinner, like maybe the first one? Or do you look at the second thief, and he says, no, there's something great about you. You are righteous. You are the Son of God. There is no sin in you. You are found holy, and no one is holy but you. How do you view Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? It's important that we answer that question. This man has done nothing wrong, and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, again, he's hanging on the cross right now, this second thief. He has no way of, you know, doing enough good deeds or enough good things to earn his salvation. He can't pull himself off the cross and go give food baskets to the poor. He can't pull himself off the cross and give enough money to charity or anything like this. He simply asked God, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In other words, he's pronouncing Jesus as a king and that will be coming into his kingdom. And that his only chance is that Jesus would give him mercy. That Jesus would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in. He was totally dependent upon the mercy of Christ. And there is no good deeds. There is nothing that this man could have did that would have earned his salvation. Totally relying on God's grace. What would Jesus do? How would he respond to this man's plea? We find this in the next verse. It says, truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Let's read that again. It says, you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say this to the first thief. The first thief didn't have this same hope. The first thief wasn't given the promise that he would be with God. But the second thief, because he admitted that he was a sinner, he admitted that Jesus was king, he admitted that he is Lord and that he is righteous and there is no sin in him, he says, Jesus promised him that he will be in paradise. That is the promise that we have as believers. That whenever we're just like that second thief, we're guilty of sin. We're guilty. Until we realize that we are guilty, you will never address the real problem. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you might be thinking, you might be trying to justify yourself right now. You might be trying to say, well, Pastor, you know, I've never done anything worthy of death. Oh, really? Have you ever lied before? Have you ever stolen before? Have you ever gossiped about someone else before? The Bible says that whenever you gossip, it is as the sin of murder. Have you ever lusted in your heart before? Have you ever lusted looked at a woman with lust in your heart before? The Bible says you've committed the sin of adultery. So you're an adulterer, you're a thief, you're a liar. There is no good in you. There is no good in me. We are just as guilty as these thieves. But let me tell you something. There's good news. Because one thief was justified. One thief went home to be with the Lord. One thief would see Jesus eye to eye in the next life. One thief was totally changed that day. Not by his own doing, not by his own merit, not by what he was able to do. He was able to do nothing hanging on the cross. But everything depended upon what Jesus was doing for him through his cross and through his suffering, because he was the perfect lamb. He was the perfect sacrifice who takes away the sin of the world. It's because of what he done for us that we are made saved, that we are made whole. Not by any works that we can do, but what that Jesus has already done. Jesus tells the man, this day is the day of salvation. This day you will be with me in paradise. And I'm here to tell you the same thing. This day is the day of salvation. That you can experience eternal life even now. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to experience eternal life or the goodness that Jesus provides. How many of you guys know that Jesus provides joy? He provides strength. He provides healing. He provides peace. We can experience that right now. Right now, while we are on this earth, right now we can experience the goodness of God. And whenever we move on to the next life, it will just continue to experience the goodness of God in full sight. That is what he paid for on the cross. Amen. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes, please, as we close out? Perhaps you're in this place. You don't know if you're saved. I want you to know today that you can know with absolutely certainty that you are saved. You can have the assurance that whenever you leave this earth, that heaven will be your home. But more than that, you can have the assurance that you walking in an abundant life. Everything that Jesus has died for is provided to you. You don't have to walk in defeat. You don't have to walk in misery. You don't have to walk in anxiety or fear or any of these things, because He is with you and He is your sustainer and He is everything that you need. You need Jesus in your life. Don't be like the first thief and say, I don't need this. This is foolishness. No, realize I am a sinner. I need Jesus in my life. Be like the second thief. Realize that Jesus is King. Realize that He is Lord. Realize that He is the Son of God. He is perfect and He is righteous. Confess your sins. Confess Him as Lord of your life. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, we call on You, Lord Jesus. We call on You. Have mercy on me, a sinner. You fill in the blank. The title is, Lord, have mercy on me. And You fill in the blank. What sin have you committed? Lord, have mercy on me, a thief. Lord, have mercy on me, a liar. Lord, have mercy on me, a backslider. Lord, have mercy on me. I need Your mercy and Your forgiveness in my life. You fill in the blank this morning. Have mercy on me, oh Lord Jesus. If you would like to make, just get right with the Lord. If you would like to begin this walk of salvation, you want the Lord to come into your life and begin to change you, would you stand to your feet? Come on, He was publicly crucified. He was made a mockery in public sight for you. He said, I am dying for you. I am dying for your sins. He became a curse so that we can be blessed. He became disgrace so that we can experience His grace. He did this for you publicly. Let us not be ashamed of Him. Let us stand boldly for what He has done for us. And so if that's you, if you just want to make even a fresh commitment to the Lord, say, God, I've fallen back. God, I slid back. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not as passionate for the Lord as I used to be. God, I pray that You would forgive me of my sins. This is what You've came for. This is what You died for, so that I can be made whole. I receive Your forgiveness in my life in the name of Jesus. I receive forgiveness in my life. For whatever it is that I have done, God, I receive Your forgiveness. And I thank You, Lord, that You have declared over me that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Your sin is in the past, and it is no more. You are a new person in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank You for the newness of life. We thank You for what You have done in this place today. We thank You for the cross. Come on, can the church begin to stand up and say, God, I thank You for the cross. I thank You for sending Jesus to die in my place. It was my sin that deserved to die, but You stood in my gap. You stood on the gap for me, Lord Jesus, and You took upon Yourself, God, my iniquity, and You were crushed, Lord, for my sin and my transgressions, oh Lord. You did that for me. So we stand for You, and we acknowledge You in this place. We say thank You, Lord, that You not only died on the cross, but 3 days later You rose again from the dead, because death and hell cannot keep You in the grave. You are alive. You are the resurrected Lord. So today we celebrate Your resurrection. We celebrate Your life in the name of Jesus. We thank You and we give You all the praise and all the glory in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. One more thing. If you made a confession of faith this morning and you said, you know what, I want to be right with the Lord, we have a couple back here who would like to just kind of walk you through what's next. Mike and Nick, can you just raise your hands? And so if you want to find out, hey, what is next? What's the next step? What do I have to do next? Go talk to this couple and they will take you in a room and just kind of explain what happens next. But then also we have a couple of other things going on that my wife would like to explain as well.
Amen. So we're going to have one more dance. So if you were to sit down, we have our kids that are going to dance one more song called Awake Within Us. And it's just going to be a declaration of Jesus and the life that he lived and the life that we can live. So you welcome up our Hope Community Church kids. Give them a big old round of applause. We're going to play that song real quick, and we're going to have them dance with us in Jesus' name. Here we go. And help them, clap and encourage them. They're a little bit shy. They're a little bit shy this morning. Amen. That the generation would know of the resurrected King. We love you guys. There's going to be an Easter egg hunt right outside in about 5 minutes. So any young person in the building that wants to go get a bunch of wonderful things, we even got baskets and treasures. It's going to be in the yard that we are declaring that will be ours very shortly. Amen. We love you guys. See you Wednesday at 6:30 and next Sunday at our 9:30 and 11 service. Amen.